Farmers have been giving antibiotics to their poultry since the 1940s because they believe that antibiotics delivered in small doses promote growth. But health researchers have long thought that the widespread use of growth-promoting antibiotics is creating strains of antibiotic-resistant bacteria that are transmittable to humans. Farmers have justified the use of the antibiotics by saying that fatter birds mean fatter profits, but a recent study by Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health calls that argument into question. Joining me to discuss this issue on today's Underreported is Dr. Mary Pearl, president of Wildlife Trust. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot.
When did farmers begin using antibiotics to fatten up their birds?
Well, back in the 1940s, 1950s, it seemed to be a means for farmers to be able to convert feed into pounds of chicken faster. And so this became part of the conventional wisdom of how you raise poultry.
But I don't understand the use of antibiotics to fatten birds. I understand to keep birds healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Are these different kinds of antibiotics?
Yes. No, they're the same kinds of antibiotics. And what the farmers were using were not, the idea was not to keep them healthy. These are what are called subtherapeutic doses. That is to say, not enough to cure a disease, but just a low level that seemed to be effective. And what struck me about the report from the scientists at Johns Hopkins is they took data from a large poultry grower. They used the poultry grower's own data to look at the expense of the antibiotics and the effect it had on poultry growth.
Purdue, right?
It was Purdue, yes. And they're an excellent company in terms of being run efficiently and collecting excellent data. And in fact, one of the authors of the study, Ellen Silbergeld, said to me that their intent was really to quantify what the cost would be to us and the cost benefit of foregoing use of antibiotics as an important way of getting cheaper chicken to us, but the cost being a growth of antibiotic resistance. So when they discovered that instead of a cost to bear, the poultry industry might even save money, it was quite a shock.
Had studies been done in the past to test the efficacy of these GPAs?
Not really. I mean, steadily, chicken production has become more efficient, but there have been many parts of that, improved breeding, improved management, and improved feed formulation. So I don't think this particular slice of poultry husbandry had been examined in this way before.
And this current study, this recent study, found that for each dollar spent on antibiotic feed additives, the return was less than 10 cents.
That's right. They were losing, actually, one-tenth of a cent per broiler chicken when using antibiotics. And I should say that Purdue is no longer using antibiotics on their chickens. They still use them on their turkey. And there's a whole range of use of antibiotics in poultry, you know, chickens made by Bell and Evans or Murray's chickens have no antibiotic use. Other companies like Tyson Foods have phased out the use of fluoroquinolone class of antibiotics, a certain kind of antibiotic that has a creates problems in human health. So there's a whole range of responses, but I'm hoping that this study will really put a nail in the coffin of antibiotic use by poultry farms.
But the companies you cited, mm-hmm. Murray's and Bell and Evans, charge a lot more money for their chickens than Purdue and Tyson. So can we expect to see a rise in the cost of Purdue chickens now?
Well, you'd have to ask Purdue that question.
But is this going to cost them more money, do you think?
Yes, I think that economics is complicated. And if we don't pay on one side, we pay on another. And so if we want cheaper chickens and want to have a price of that be growing antibiotic resistance, well, then we're going to pay in hospitals. And in fact, there was an estimate that that antibiotic-resistant staph infections cost an extra $122 million a year in treatment. This is an estimate, I think, from the FDA.
Well, the FDA has estimated that about 70% of all infection-causing bacteria have become resistant to at least one of the drugs most commonly used to treat infections. And A link is being made to these antibiotics in chickens?
Yes. Well, we have not been wise in our use of antibiotics, either with humans or with wildlife.
Well, the European Union has banned the use of meat antibiotics, but not the FDA, despite those findings.
Yes, I find that remarkable. I think we need to protect our health because the bacteria are really wily enemies. The reason that the statistic you cited from the FDA about infection-causing bacteria resistant to more than one of the drugs, one of the amazing things about bacteria is that they have these little bits of DNA in their cells that aren't related to the chromosomes. They are little bits of DNA that can travel, and these little bits accumulate resistance. And what's even more remarkable is that bacteria that aren't even of the same species, when they're next to each other, will exchange these wonderful bits of DNA, wonderful to the bacteria, not so good to us. And so what can happen is a single bacterium can accumulate resistance to a variety of antibiotics and so, pass them along.
So we can be feeding these antibiotics to these chickens and have no effect whatsoever because they're now infected by mutated bacteria.
Yeah, well, bacteria mutate very rapidly as well. And they have four different ways of resisting antibiotics, and I won't go into the details here, but bacteria have at their disposal a number of ways of resisting antibiotics. They code these in little bits of DNA in their cells, and then they pass them along. And this happens not just in infection-causing bacteria. Even the bacteria that cause us no harm, that are in our environment, they're in animals, they're in people, they're in our bodies, they are also exchanging genetic material. So resistance really is growing all around us, so that even though peak usage of antibiotics in farms is perhaps in a few years in the past, we're still seeing growing resistance.
My guest is Dr. Mary Pearl, Director of Wildlife Trust and co-founder of the Consortium for Conservation Medicine Using Antibiotics in Chickens. Have there been studies that have detected harmful bacteria in retail poultry?
Unfortunately, yes. There was an alarming study that was done recently where a scientist went into a supermarket in several supermarkets around the Washington, D.C. area. They took samples just as you might, picking up packages, except they were extreme shoppers. They picked up 43 packages of chickens and 32 packages of turkeys, and they found resistant genes in a bacterium called Enterococcus in 23 of the chicken packages and 4 of the turkey. And so this study suggests that there's a high prevalence of resistance found in retail poultry.
Many years ago, I spoke to a meat buyer at a major supermarket chain who said that whenever we hear about stomach viruses, we really should read food poisoning, because I mean, he was admitting that some of it came from bacteria in the meat that he was selling. Is it possible to avoid that? Because the processing itself involves so many people and so many opportunities for bacteria.
Yes. Well, I think we need to be aware that raw meat is something to be treated carefully. And you will find that all reputable supermarkets, you'll see the label. It tells you to handle the chicken carefully, to cook it thoroughly. Another thing we have to remember to do, it seems very silly and basic, but it's so important, wash your hands, because someone might have been pushing that carriage before you went shopping, having touched some leaky chicken. And if you touch it, even if you're a vegetarian, you might pick up a bacteria.
Now, there's another group, a magazine called Feedstuffs, that challenged the Johns Hopkins study in terms of whether the antibiotics were actually not cost-effective. But does that really matter? Would you be opposed in either case because you assert that growth-promoting antibiotics in animals should be banned for other reasons?
Well, I think people might quibble with the calculations and the details of the economic analysis, but I don't think anyone quibbles with the fact that we have a large and growing problem on our hands, which is antibiotic resistance. And we can't just say this is something that chicken farmers do and we have no culpability here either. I think what was surprising about this study is I think we assumed that in the cost-benefit analysis, we were getting a lot of benefit in terms of price for the cost of risks to our health, and that's simply not the case.
Dr. Mary Pearl is director of the Wildlife Trust and co-founder of the Consortium for Conservation Medicine. Thank you so much for talking with us today on Underreported.
Oh, it's my pleasure.